Welcome back to The People's Game. This is Alan Minsky, and of course, the 2018 World Cup is underway, and our orgy of spectacle soccer has begun. And this year we're going to do something a little different, as we always do with each of our People's Game cycles. We're going to, of course, be featuring the best in left, radical, progressive political analysis of the world's most popular spectacle. And maybe I'll talk a little bit about that notion in a moment or two. But in 2014, we had tremendous success with some visual memes we created, had a lot of fun on social media. And of course, in 2010, you go back, and then that year, the real primary product was our podcast. Well, we'll be producing the podcast, and we're going to really attempt to do it still on a daily basis, but we're going to lean into the podcast and gain momentum as we go along, but we are going to be jumping right into it with tweeting all the games. We're going to be creating an Instagram account. Of course, we're on Facebook, and we have the peoplesgame.org website. So let me return to the first notion that I presented here, this whole thing about the World Cup being the most popular spectacle in the world, and certainly in terms of bringing people together to watch these, concise 96-minute spectacles. There's nothing that competes with the quadrennial men's World Cup soccer tournament. I've heard it said that the only thing that surpasses it in terms of global attention is the U.S. presidential election. And as I hear myself saying that, well, what are the two most recent of these things have in common? Perhaps it's Vladimir Putin, but that is something, of course, we'll be touching on across this World Cup, the relationship of Putin as a, I think probably leftists can concur on one thing, not necessarily the level or degree to which he influenced the 2016 U.S. presidential election, but that the current president of the United States seems to view Putin's variation on oligarchic kleptocracy and sort of quasi-democratic or post-democratic authoritarianism as something that he would like to bring to the United States and emulate. And this is, of course, a scary fact about the world in 2018. And much has changed politically since 2014. Then, of course, the World Cup was held in Brazil. And much like the World Cup being held in 2010, there was a lot of reason for those of us at the People's Game to approach the Men's World Cup tournament with all of its global attention, and to reflect on the great radical traditions both in South Africa and Brazil, to look at the contemporary manifestations of that political radicalism and see something very poignant and active to build upon and grow with. Now, of course, Russia has quite the radical historical tradition. Russia in 2018, not so much. And of course, that's something that we'll be touching on in the relationship of all of that history and the relationship of contemporary Russian society and politics to the World Cup tournament will be something that we'll talk about. And we'll also talk about, of course, what's going on in all of the other 31 countries that are participating in the World Cup. And since a very conspicuous absence this time around is the United States of America, and of course that's where the People's Game show is based out of, we'll be reflecting on the political situation in the United States and as well the situation with the failure of the U.S. men's national team to make it to this World Cup. And of course now, given yesterday's news, we'll talk about what it means that the United States, Mexico, and Canada, at the very moment that President Trump is fracturing, to say the least, and maybe blowing up the NAFTA trade agreement, much vilified, rightly so, by many people, but blowing it up at the very moment that then he has pushed for the bid, now the successful bid, of the United States, Mexico, and Canada to be the first ever tri-hosts of a men's World Cup, and that'll take place in 2026. After the one in 2022, where there's again ever so much to talk about in terms of politics, labor exploitation, and so many things, including the change in the season in which it will occur when the World Cup is hosted in 2022 in Qatar. So, as I said, we're pretty much just leaning into the podcast component of the project this time. And in the coming days, you're going to, of course, hear from Melissa Figueroa, Fernando Romero, who's done a tremendous job assisting the show the past two cycles. And again, our familiar guests, Laurent Dubois, Jennifer Doyle, Dave Zirin, and so many others, they'll be back on the podcast reflecting on the 2018 World Cup. that's pretty much going to be it for me right now, except to say that, of course, today was the first match between Russia and Saudi Arabia. And what you're going to hear now is, again, this is a component that we feature on The People's Game. We're going to hear somebody who has done a lot of coverage on both the politics of Russia and Saudi Arabia. And when we come back, we're going to talk directly to another KPFK host, Esteban Zul from the Pocho Hour of Power. We spoke to him today in Moscow. But first, this. This is The People's Game. I'm Alan Minsky, and I'm joined in studio by Ian Masters, one of the great hosts we have here at our home radio station, KPFK Los Angeles. Ian does an exceptional show, Background Briefing, and is really one of the best shows in the United States, giving true depth to global politics. And, of course, today we had the first match of the World Cup between Russia and Saudi Arabia. And Ian's show, among many things, has been excellent at providing a better understanding to our listeners about both the Russian and the Saudi governments.
Both of whom helped elect Donald Trump.
There we go. Yet, of course, they are adversaries, and here they were across from FIFA. Adversaries, at least in
Syria.
Money talks. So, right. Briefly, can you first describe to our listeners the manner in which Vladimir Putin's Russian government is a beacon of light to the people of the world?
Well, I'm sure he's trying to take advantage of the World Cup, and it's quite a coup for him to get the World Cup. And, you know, it's not surprising that a kleptocrat and a criminal would be able to make a deal with that criminal organization known as FIFA. Mm-hmm. So it's no surprise that it all worked out for him. And I must say, I find it amusing that the member of the Duma warned Russian women not to have affairs with foreigners, and if they do, make sure they don't get pregnant by people that don't belong to the same race. So that gives you a little flavor of the kind of endemic racism there. So
Putin is how much right now at this moment do you see him as truly an ascendant figure in terms of power politics and geopolitics, or is that overblown?
No,
and has come up and is around the corner?
No, it's totally overblown. I mean, you know, Obama tried to put it in context by saying Russia's a regional power. That was, and of course it really irritated Putin. But that is the reality. They have a lot of nuclear weapons. But their economy is somewhere between Canada and Italy. Mm. I mean,
with a population five times the size.
Yeah. And they got massive resources. But it's the most, I mean, you know, it's basically he's using fascist techniques to disguise the fact that him and his cronies and the oligarchs are robbing the country blind. So that's essentially what it is. You know, it's a way to use repression to disguise the enormous inequality. And, you know, he's basically, I mean, why anybody in the West somehow have some weird nostalgia, think somehow he's a socialist? God help us. I mean, he's the most right-wing kleptocrat, religious fanatic. I mean, I don't know that he's personally religious, but he uses the Orthodox Church in the way that Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson use religion here in this country.
So for someone who is evoking the worst parts of mid-20th century government to a country which is evoking the best of medieval government, what do you have to say about the Saudi government?
Well, it's obviously a huge con that they're trying to pull, this the boy king, MBS, being a reformer. Mm. I mean, they're jailing all of the actual reformers. Mm-hmm. And they even started to jail the women before they allowed them to drive. So the whole thing's a hoax. It's a horrible, it's a family kleptocracy. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. Putin regulates the oligarchs and through what they call the Siloviki, the former intelligence people now become billionaires. But in Saudi Arabia, it's just one family. Admittedly, it's a family of thousands and thousands of princes because mm-hmm. Ibn Saud, the founder of the country, had 365 kids. Mm-hmm. So he was a busy guy.
Mm-hmm. And again, no sense of moving past the Saudi Arabian monarchy in terms of an opposition.
Well, I just talked to a friend who just was in Saudi Arabia doing some investigative work for the BBC, and he told me he talked to a bunch of these top Saudi officials about Trump's visit. Remember this, the successful visit, the doing the sword dance? And apparently Trump was blown away by all the gold on the walls. He literally could not get over great the gold was. And you know, God help us, it's a miracle he didn't come back and start putting gold all over the walls of the White House, which I'm sure if he gets his way, he'll probably will eventually. If he gets a second term, it'll be called the Gold House, no longer the White House.
Well, thank you for all that. While we still have fresh in our minds the opening match of the World Cup, the final score of which was
5-0.
Kleptocratic oligarchy 5, kleptocratic monarchy 0.
Or another way of putting it, the gay haters 5 and the women haters 0.
Thank you, Ian Masters from KPFK's Background Briefing. And now for something completely different. From the Pocho Hour of Power, another of KPFK's great shows, it's a collective show spearheaded by the great cartoonist Lalo Alcaraz, and one of the collective members, the ambassador of Aslan, Estefan Zul, is in Moscow for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's Pocho Hour of Power, and guess what?
What?
We found Estefan Zul.
Where's he at?
Yeah, it was a whole Carmen Sandiego thing. Estefan is now in Moscow.
And not Moscow, Idaho.
No, in the, what do they call it? The Russian...
Well, it's the center of the world right now for every part of the world other than the United States.
Oh, yeah, there's a little game going on. Hey, Estefan Zul, welcome to your own show, the Pocho Hour of Power.
What's up, guys? Hey, man, it is crazy right here. Russia won today, and the whole city is, like, just going off. People are just... going off in the streets, and everybody's very happy. But yeah, I'm in Moscow. I went to the opening ceremonies for the World Cup. It was something to see, man. This place is just it's a huge, beautiful city. I don't know how they keep it so clean, but it's like no litter. The place is beautiful.
Well, I think they put you in the camp if you litter. You've been there 2 days?
I came here to litter, but I can't make a dent. The city is just too nice.
So describe all the crowds there at the World Cup, you know, flown all over Moscow.
Well, the whole city is like, you know what, it's just like everyone here is into the Cup. They're all here representing. But, you know, there's been a, like I've been talking to some of the Russian people and some of the people from other, fans of soccer. And what they're saying is that there's, like, very small representation from the European countries. But what's happened is that what's coming out here is the people, the Latinos are showing up, like Paraguay, Peru, Colombia, Brazil, and most notably, and nobody can escape noticing this, but Mexicans. The Mexico contingent is here in full force. I've been walking around the city, and you can't walk around the city for less than 30 seconds without seeing someone in a sarape in a big floppy sombrero or draped in the Mexican flag, and they're everywhere.
Are you
sure? Guys are just walking around in groups and hanging out, and the Mexicans are showing up full force. And not only that, but the Russians totally love them. I mean, they stop. I've seen them, like, stop and hug these Mexicans in sombreros in the streets and say, Mexico! And they're just like... And then they stop, take pictures with them. They have their children take pictures with them. And it's just been something else, man.
So, are there Mexican Americans all Mexican?
And it looks like there's been it looks like the invasion of Mexico City by the Zapatista forces in the 1900s. Except maybe it's more closer to the service staff at Senor Frogs, but still.
are there Mexican Americans, or are there Mexican Americans in Pochos, or is it all
just
all
you?
I haven't met one Chicano yet.
Oh my gosh! Wow!
But I keep running into Mexicanos all over the place.
Wow! Well, that's cool.
Did you watch?
I met a guy in a big old sombrero. He said, "Next time I come to Mexico City, he's going to pick me up at the airport." I told him to wear his sombrero.
Did you watch the Russia Saudi Arabia game? In a public space?
I did. Yeah. The Saudi Arabians got slaughtered.
Yeah.
I think Putin was in a special booth watching the game at the stadium with the king of the
Saudi
what was it, the Emirate?
The people that fund Jared Kushner. That's who it is.
Yeah, but Vladimir Putin gave a speech before, during the opening ceremonies, right before the games, welcome the world to the World Cup. And yeah, man, it's been great out here. The Russians have been really friendly. They're very, generous. They're very, helpful. I can't speak a word of Russian, but they've helped me get around the city.
Do they speak?
Tell me when I'm going the wrong way.
Do they speak English?
But it's been great.
Do the Russians speak English?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Do
they speak English?
Hello?
Uh-oh. Do many people know Spanglish there?
How about Team
Fresno? No. English is, some people speak English, but not a lot. But I still manage to communicate, and I'm always getting help. Even the people who can't speak English have went out of their way to try to communicate with me and figure out what's going on with us and try to help us out when we're lost or whatever.
Wow,
but
that's
the
opposite of Europe.
The people here have been really great.
Well, that's great.
And right now the whole Moscow is just everyone's out and they're all happy because, of course, Russia won today 5-0.
That's probably their biggest victory in the history of the World Cup for Soviet Union / Russia. And you're going to a game in a few days?
Yeah, I'm going to go see Senegal versus Poland.
They probably have a sizable Mexican contingent there.
Yeah. That was the only ticket I could get, man. I tried to get tickets online, and they were going so quick. I stayed up until 4 a.m. in the morning trying to buy tickets to the World Cup. I can only get that game. And that was the only way I could get into the country because, you know, they have strict visa policies, especially for Americans to come in here. So the only way to get into Moscow was to have a ticket to the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
A FIFA visa, and then you get in that way.
Did they have like a big public viewing area for the games, and were you at that today?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They have a big, FIFA fest. And it's like right next to the stadium, or one of the stadiums. The games are going to be in multiple cities, St. Petersburg, Moscow, and some other city, I believe, but I forgot what it was. But we're only at the Moscow games. But at the Moscow, the stadium is right next to the university, the Russian university. And they have a huge mall there, and they set it up with big screens, so everyone's just hanging out who's not at the game.
Hey, Zula.
And watching on the big screens.
Have you had a good schnapps, a good beer out there? You know, they're known for the beer.
I've been drinking Russian beer, and it's pretty good.
What's the vodka?
Like the Belgium.
What about the vodka?
Yeah, you're pounding the vodka, Steve.
Well, of course I'm drinking vodka, but I drink beer as an aperitif.
And have you seen any Mexican food over there?
Mexican food? No.
All right.
Their version of a taco.
I've seen food. I've seen food. I don't even know what it is.
How about right a now, Taco Bell?
There's no Taco Bell, but there are McDonald's everywhere.
Shut up.
All right.
Yeah, McDonald's and KFC.
For the black people.
For all the black Russians.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Well, Esteban, any last second things you want to say to the Pocho Hour of Power audience?
Keep on pochoing, man. I'm going to pocho around the world, and I'm going to represent Pochismo wherever I go. And that's what I'm doing here. And hopefully, I will make it back out of Moscow in one piece, and I'll see you guys later.
All right, brother. Be safe.
Thank you.
That was Esteban Zul, Pocho Hour of Power, checking in from Moscow and the World Cup. Amazing.
It was amazing.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
That's it for today's installment of the People's Game Podcast, which will be coming to you throughout the World Cup 2018, hosted by Russia, who got off to one hell of a start today.